Well, I thought we might just take a moment, and I'm conscious of getting through some stuff from today, but I really wanted to hear today the possibilities of what happened last week after church in the conversations. And I was hoping that maybe two bold and courageous people who would just get up and share. I haven't pre-prepared this in any way, but people who went away from last week and had someone come up to them and tell them about a gifting that they'd seen at work in them that really encouraged them. You weren't even here. How does that work? All right, let's go with it.
I wasn't even here, but Rochelle came home and she told me, she said, "You've got a gift of mercy." And she said, which really moved me because I thought I had a gift of encouragement. So it was really, really nice to hear that, because I do take compassion on people and it's just what I do. But it was really encouraging. And then I watched your sermon online.
Awesome. Great example. Thank you. Thank you. Someone else?
Someone came up to me last week and explained that I had the gift of kindness. And I went, oh, man, not kindness. But I was really appreciative that Grant had said to us during the service that sometimes people who exhibit kindness or have that gift of kindness can feel like doormats or walked over. And I thought, yeah, sometimes that is what it's like. So I appreciate you saying that. But it was also so nice to have somebody else say, God has given you the spirit of kindness. Yeah, and to lean into that and go, oh, God, you know best.
That's right. Awesome. Well, I'm sure there's many other examples of what people were able to share with one another, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. When you see gifting at work in the people in our community, or you see an expression of it, just go up to those people and say, hey, I recognise that gift in you and I want to encourage it. Because when we encourage each other, that the gift begins to grow and mature, and that's what we want to be, right? A church where the gifting that God has given to each person is actually maturing and not laying dormant. This whole series is about fanning into flame the gifts that God has given us. Let me pray for us. Lord, it's so good today to be in your presence, and even just to have heard today through the time of communion, the unity of our hearts around all that you have done and accomplished for us. But then hearing the practical expression of the proclamation of your name through Eddie's sharing, Lord. Thank you. Thank you that you've been with us today. And in this time of your word, we wrestle with where we fit, Father. Help us to grow in clarity, but also in confidence in the way that we express our gifts to one another and to the communities beyond these walls. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So last week we spent a little bit of a time in Romans 12, and we talked about the gifts of prophesying, serving, teaching, encouragement, giving, leadership and mercy. And we said that these were like motivational gifts. They're almost like interwoven character traits that God has given us. And today we want to shift to a different group of gifts, which are in Ephesians 4. And I am going to read that right now. So Christ, and I'm shocked because it's working. I've been battling with this thing and it's just working this week, so we're going with it. Let me read. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ, From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now, before I proceed, I want to draw attention to those words, speaking the truth in love. Often, many of the gifts we call a speaking gift. So, you know, if you've got a gift of encouragement, it tends to mean that you go up and talk to someone. If you've got a gift of prophecy, you tend to go up and talk to someone, right? And so there's this important flavouring of the gifts where love is evident in them, but also truth, speaking the truth in love. And I think my first week here at Sea Change, I was talking about this. I tend to see myself as a fairly robust person in life, and so I want to encourage you to speak the truth in love to me. Ooh. I want to encourage that, because if you can feel confident doing that with me, we can feel confident in doing that as a community, to speak the truth in love. Now, that can be not in the negative sense, which often we read it, right? We kind of go, oh, that if I'm speaking the truth in love, it's in the negative. No, it's in the positive as well. We want to make sure that we speak what is before us. Now, obviously, depending on how that truth reaches my heart, it may take me some time to respond to it. But if it's truth, then it's going to be my friend and it's going to help us grow, and vice versa in the relationships around us. When we see something in one another's life, whether in the positive or something that needs growth, let us be bold and courageous. Let us speak the truth in love to one another. Now, these verses today are really important to us. I think that Paul wants us to understand that these gifts, even though they are personified in Jesus Christ, in the sense that he expressed all of these particular gifts, he also wants us to know now that these gifts are given to us as part of Jesus' victory over death. In fact, the preceding verses talk about Jesus being like a victor, like the old kings of the Old Testament, where they would go back and there'd be great celebration and the king would give gifts to the community. And so Jesus here is the great victor over death and sin. And now he gives gifts back into his church. Instead of them being monetary gifts or gold or silver or the plunder of the enemy, he now brings gifts back to his church, and they are in the form of people. These people who have particular gifts to build up the body of Christ. So these gifts are mentioned and called what we would probably call ministry gifts. They are leadership or oversight gifts given to the church. These gifts are the people themselves, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And their role is to equip and mature the body of Christ, to build it up for it to become all that Christ intends it to become. Now, there's a bit of a challenge here, and I want to draw attention to this. Different thinking and actual disagreement exists in regard to some of these gifts and also some of the gifts over in 1 Corinthians 12. Different perspectives as history has gone on. Let me just touch on this because I think it's important to see where you feel you fall in regard to this as well. Two titles given, they're not as important as the beliefs or the perceptions that the people who believe in these perspectives carry. So the first one is the cessationists, and they believe that certain spiritual gifts, especially the overt supernatural ones, ceased to be given to the church after the first century AD or gradually declined over the next few centuries. They believe that the gifts and particular roles were foundational for the early church, but once the original apostles and prophets had passed away, and the scripture and the Bible was established, they believed the church had all it needed for faith and practice. Therefore, cessationists believe some supernatural gifts were transitional and are no longer operational today. And this is interesting because this view is mainly held by people living in the Western or developed world, where often experience is interwoven with perspective and then a formation of belief happens. Next to this is called a continuationist. And this person affirms the gifts for today as written in the scriptures. They are required still because the realities of the body of Christ are still being outworked in history. We're still here. The church is still here. So let's consider the first gift, which is the gift of an apostle, and I'll weave this into these two different perspectives. So this gift, which the word apostle means one who is sent or messenger. Many believers interpret this to mean that while the foundational office of a New Testament apostle, who were key in establishing the early church and the authority to write scripture, the gift of apostle, one who is being sent, still exists. So even though they are original apostles and those that were foundational to the beginnings of the church, the word itself means someone who is sent and messenger. And we seem to be still doing that. It's still a reality in the church today. I would like to think of it like this. I believe there's a capital A for apostle and a lowercase a. What is the capital A? The capital A are those apostles chosen by Jesus Christ. They were the ones that had been with Jesus and had witnessed his resurrection. We see at the end of Acts 1 when they were choosing Matthias after they wanted to fill the role of Judas who had betrayed Jesus. They went to Matthias and they said these very things to the group of people. We need people who have been a part of the journey of what Jesus has done and also have witnessed his resurrection. And after prayer and consideration, Matthias was chosen. Later, Paul would add to this ideal by saying the true capital A apostles were those marked by signs, wonders, and miracles. And these original apostles were the ones who had laid the foundation, who wrote the New Testament. And that foundation cannot be laid again. In fact, in Ephesians 2, Paul says the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. So here over here we have capital A apostles. I do not believe there are any capital A apostles beyond that first century. But what I do believe is there is the lowercase a apostle. And these are people that are still being sent out, still being called to be messengers and to reflect this gifting in the world today. They're certainly not eyewitnesses of Jesus' death and resurrection. They're certainly not those who are writing scripture. But in the scriptures, we actually see these lowercase a apostles at work. We see them being sent out by the church, names such as Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Andronicus, Junia, Epaphroditus, Sosthenes, Apollos, and then even James, the Lord's brother, is called an apostle as well. Except for James, all of those others I mentioned in that list don't write scripture. Only James was the extra one that wrote scripture. And so what do we have here is this gift being expressed, people called to go to places to fulfill the role of being an apostle as one being sent out. I believe this verse is still in action today. And in fact, when we get in 2 weeks now to the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, I want to make a very strong case that if there's ever a time in history that we need the gifts of the Spirit to be expressed, it's now. And particularly in our part of the world. Now, interestingly, when I consider the lowercase a apostle, the person being sent out, in other parts of the world, they absolutely believe that's a gift is at work. People are still being sent out. Look at the church in Africa, the church across the subcontinent. It is growing because people are being sent out like apostles to proclaim the word of God, to plant churches and to disciple people. And in fact, they don't even worry about using the word. They just do it. They just do it. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones says this. I don't know where it's gone now. I've lost confidence. Here it is. He's a 20th century theologian. And interestingly, he probably fell on the cessationist side of understanding in regard to the gifts. But this is what he says. Every Christian should always be seeking the best and the highest. We should never be content with anything less than what is described as possible to the Christian in the New Testament. I love that quote. I'd love to think that we can be a church that goes after everything that the Scripture encourages and inspires us to be like. The second gift is the gift of the prophet. We kind of looked at this a little bit last week, and I encourage you, if you weren't here, to take some time to listen to last week's message. But what we're looking at now is not just the gift of prophecy being at work, but actually someone that holds a particular leadership role. And we need to keep that in mind in regard to these particular gifts. But this person would speak forth words from God in complete consistency with the foundation of the Old and New Testament. To prophesy means to speak out God's word, his heart, his purposes, and truth with the intent of encouraging and influencing others to come into alignment with God's will. We said last week that the prophet is someone that sees and God gives a word that can help someone understand their past, their present, or their future. And that's the power of this particular gift, is God giving insight that gives understanding to something that may have been not understandable by the person living through it. As with the apostles, I think the capital P prophet is very different to the prophet that we see now. They're not foundational or first century prophets where God's word was being proclaimed in a new and fresh season of expression through the early church. But I believe this gift is required as much as any of the gifts that we've been looking at. We want to see what the Holy Spirit wants to say to the church, to individuals. We want to be a church that is led by God's word. And sometimes God brings his word through the prophet in a way that we can understand it to help move forward and progress as a church. Next is the evangelist. And this simply means the messenger of good news. This person specifically gifted to preach the good news of salvation of Jesus Christ. They have a capacity to help people towards a personal faith in Jesus. I suspect, Eddie, there were people in your team who were evangelists that were getting up and proclaiming the gospel to a large crowd of people, and people responded, which is often a confirmation of that gift being active in a particular person. Now, when I think about this gift, the person that comes to mind who I just have incredible respect for is Billy Graham. I just think of the worldwide expression of his evangelistic gift. It is said of Billy Graham that there were 215 million people who heard the word of God under his ministry. And of that 215 million, 185 countries, and it says genuine commitment somewhere in the vicinity of 3 million plus people. And I just go, that is an evangelist. Now, interestingly, last week we determined, though, that we are to express the gifts within the measure of what God has given us. Now, Billy Graham was given a great measure, and he will go before the Lord and he will give an account of the measure. What is the measure being given to you in your gifting? What will God require of you when that day comes when you stand before him? Will you have used your gifts and seen your gifts grow and being used to the fullest of the capacity of the measure that God has intended for you? Pastors and teachers. Now, this is interesting, and I put them on the same slide because the way that the original Greek is written is that there is a bonding between these two. They are two separate gifts, but they're almost aligned. It's very hard to be a pastor with an inability to teach. And it's very hard to teach without an inability to pastor.
Okay, thank you. I've done really well for our... Thank
you. So the teacher simply is to instruct in divine truth, to instruct the church in sound doctrine and help build up the body of Christ by explaining biblical truths, while the pastor is to shepherd safely. The pastor shepherds, leads, teaches, and cares for the church community to which they have responsibility. Now, the interesting thing is, I was thinking, what's a good example? Back in my very first talk I ever gave was back at Lugano at a kids' club. And we had about 100 kids coming on a Friday. And they said, Grant, we think you're ready to do the message. And I went, yes, confident young 16-year-old male who thinks that we have reached our peak already. And I got up and I'd done this preparation, and it was all about this train, and this train was going through a tunnel, and the tunnel was dark, and then obviously at the end there was a light. And so it was this just simple picture of how life can sometimes feel like we're in a dark tunnel, but by the grace of God, there is a light that comes that brings us out. Well, anyway, the talk was meant to go for about 15 minutes. For some reason, my tunnel was a lot shorter than I thought. And the thing with the kids' club was the talk led into dinner. And so dinner was at a perfect time. They go over the road and get chicken nuggets and chips. And it's like, let's just say for argument's sake, at 6 p.m. we have to finish the talk. And we don't want to finish early. We don't want to finish too late. But my tunnel was very short. And I remember just standing there and I lost my way, and we were in the dark tunnel for longer than we should have been, but then it was shorter than it should have been. And then the light came very quickly, and then I was finished and I went, oh, I think I'm done. And I remember the two leaders kind of, you know, when leaders don't know what to do and they kind of look at each other and it's like, what the heck do we do? He's got 10 minutes to go. And I remember just feeling so discouraged and handed the microphone back. And it's that type of one where you want to hand the microphone back, walk out the door, just go straight out to your car and just sit there and wait till someone can drive you home. Because I couldn't drive, obviously, as a 16-year-old. Very discouraged. And someone along the way came along and said, yeah, it was pretty good. It was short, but it was pretty good. And I remember just thinking, okay, I can get better at this, you know? Like, just because I didn't do so well the first time doesn't mean that the gift can't grow. So many of the gifts we've talked about already, just because you might have a false start or maybe it's not received the way you'd hope, doesn't mean that it can't grow and mature. If we're all judged by our first effort, man, Wendy would have never married me. Like, really, if we're judged by our first attempts, by our first efforts, we wouldn't get very far. Well, I want to suggest, just to finish today, that we need to see these gifts at work, not only in our church, but the wider church. And it should be something we're praying for. God, would you raise up those that carry these gifts? Why? Because Paul says the purpose of these gifts, and listen to his words again, that the body of Christ may be built up. We agree? Until we all reach unity in the faith. Amen? And in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature. Who wants to become mature in their faith? Me? Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm up for this. I want this. Not only for sea change, but for the wider church in Australia. We need and to pray and to see these gifts once again come to the surface to show this world all of those things that we've just described there that Paul wants to see at work in his church. So what does that mean for us today, and how should we finish our time together? Well, we want to encourage the gifts, certainly in one another. But I felt today just in preparation and prayer, I really wanted to target the evangelists today in our community. Now, first of all, you evangelists might be sitting there going, no, I don't preach up in front of each other. I'm wanting to talk about those that have a hunger and desire to share the gospel with people. Now, you might be already doing that. You might be very active in your workplace or your neighbourhood or with your family. Or you might actually have a particular role that is a bit more significant. I just had this picture today. You know how evangelists like you to stand up? Yeah, if you want to know Christ, raise your hand. And I felt like I just wanted to get the evangelists now on the other side of that. And, you know, they're asking for courage and boldness. And I went, we're going to ask for courage and boldness. So can I get those in our community who feel that God is growing that gift or they're already expressing that gift to stand up, please? Because we want to pray for you. We really want to pray. Thank you. Great boldness. Come on. There's a few others. Yeah. And what we want to do, and we've done this a few times, if you're near these people, I'd love for us just to take a bit of time to pray, and then I'm going to close our time in prayer in a few minutes. And what we want to pray for these people is, because these gifts aren't just about what they do, the action of it, but they are to help us become more effective as well. And so I'm believing maybe from today, as we pray for these individuals, and I now have identified them, that I can start conversations with them and say, how can you help us become more effective at how we present the gospel to our local community and equip us to be more effective in that? That sound okay? All right, well, let's spend a few minutes. If you're near one of these people, I'd love you to just get up. Just start praying straight away for them, that God may continue to encourage and inspire them as they proclaim the gospel. And then I'll close our time and then we're going to go and have some morning tea. Let's do that. All right, how about I just pray and close our time together? Yeah, Father, we want to thank you today for the ways that you continue to enrich our lives. Lord, we are very aware of these first two groups of gifts described to us, Lord, that it talks about the measure of your grace given to us in these gifts. And so we want to walk in all the fullness of that, Lord, because not for ourselves, Lord, not for our own exaltation, Lord, but for the benefit of the building up of the body of Christ and for the glory of your name, Jesus. So help us, Lord, as we go about this week. And I particularly pray for those that we've identified this morning and have been courageous to stand up as those that you've touched and given this gift of evangelism. Lord, would you inspire them? Lord, would you give them opportunities this week? Lord, would there be more and more people brought into their sphere of relationship that are wanting to know you? Increase their discernment, Lord. Increase their awareness when those opportunities are present for them to proclaim Jesus. Bless them this week and watch over all of us, Lord, as we go our separate ways. May we walk in step with your Spirit, we pray. And may you be glorified in all we do. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.